Began in verse 1, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort, the things that he just went over. If any man teach otherwise, otherwise of what? Huh? If any man teach otherwise, the opposite of what Paul had just told you and been talking about, that he'd been writing to Timothy about. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Well, the doctrine in verse 3 would be the doctrine of God of verse 1. Now look what he says. Now the reason why I'm doing this is because people will take verse 3, and because of the red letter edition, they'll say that I'm putting more emphasis on the words of Paul than I do on the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they'll go back and say, you should follow the words of the Lord Jesus Christ instead of Paul. But look what he says in verse 3 again. If any man teach otherwise than what Paul has already said, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of the Lord Jesus. The words of the Lord Jesus are the words that Paul's talking about. Notice this thing about this. He said wholesome words. Look over in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy, and notice in chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 1. Notice in verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words. The same Greek word, that's wholesome words. Sound words. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of Peter, James, and John. That's not what it said. Which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. The good things would be the sound words of verse 13. And notice this thing, verse 15, this know, thou knowest that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus. He oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But he's saying there, hold fast the form of sound words, that good thing which was committed unto thee. And then he's taught why. Why is he wanting to hold fast? Because, folks, people are turning away from Paul. Look back with me and look in, or look over in, back in chapter 3 of 1 Timothy, or chapter 4, I'm sorry. In chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And this thing was committed unto Timothy, as it was unto Paul. Do you realize that God has put you in trust, has put the gospel, the form of sound words, the good thing, he has committed it unto you, and he has put it in trust with you to do what? To hold it, to bury it? No, to get it out. Look what he says back in chapter 6 of 1 Timothy. In chapter 6, he goes on, look in verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred from the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Folks, Paul was given the doctrine, the walk, the destiny of the body of Christ, and it's all wrapped up, and it's called the faith. And how many faiths are there? There is one Lord, one faith, not a dozen faiths, not 100 of them. There's one faith, and it is the faith that we're to be in unity of. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, notice what he said. He's talking about giving gifts unto men. And he gave some, verse 11, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. And that the faith would be the one faith of verse 5. And it's what was delivered, and it's called the things that Paul did. Back in Timothy, notice in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, he said, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me. The things would be the doctrine. It would be the belief. It would be the faith. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same things commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's our job. It's like a chain reaction. We go out and we tell others. We share the gospel with others. We share the right division with others. We plant and we sow, and people see it. And those that are saved, are you listening? Those that are saved, the Spirit of God will deal with them. And He gives the increase. He does. And if nobody ever sees it, that's not my problem. My goal is to preach, plant, water the gospel and the knowledge of the truth, the faith, to the members of the body of Christ. Why? To bring them into unity. Then these are sound words. It was committed to Paul. It was committed to Timothy. And he's to commit it to other men. And they're to commit it to other men. And it goes on and on like that. And thank God I was in one of the lines. Thank the Lord that one day somebody come along and there preached the gospel to me, and there I was saved. And after I got saved, thank the Lord that I saw the truth. Amen. In 1973, at a Bible conference in Chattanooga, Tennessee, I met a man that opened my eyes. And I sat there on the front pew. And I had my little recorder, and I was going to record the preaching. And there this man got up, and I'll never forget it. He said, I want to talk to you about the book of Matthew in light of Romans chapter 15, verse 8. Romans chapter 15, verse 8 says, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. And then he went to town on the book of Matthew. that it was that he was not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and he wouldn't have touched you people sitting in this building, and his words was he wouldn't have touched you with a 10-foot pole. And that man's name was E.C. Moore. And I thought he looked like Paul Harvey. And he talked sort of like him. But I sat there and I listened to that man, and that man rightly divided the Bible, and I saw for the first time a lot of my preconceived notions and a lot of the traditions that I was holding as a Baptist preacher was wrong. And I got to home, and I studied, and I listened, and I got to studying the Bible. And now you know the rest of the story. Here I am. How long has that been? Been a long time, hasn't it? 40-some years? Ever how old Jeannie is? Close to it. And here we are today. Marvelous things what the Lord does. It ain't the amount. It ain't the quantity of the work. It's not. It's the quality of the work. Commit it. But look on with me. Turn to 2 Corinthians. The words, don't let people talk to you about the words of the Lord Jesus. What Paul said, the wholesome words of the Lord Jesus is the sound words that was given to him by the Lord. And it has to do with that the faith that was committed to him and was committed to Timothy. And it, in 73, the Lord began to commit it to me. And I've been trying ever since to commit it to other people and to get people saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. That's the whole goal of my ministry. That's all my desire is, that I glorify the Lord in this book. I'm not interested in entertaining the children and having programs and doing all the stuff the religious system does. I'm interested in teaching them the Word of God, rightly divided, and preaching the gospel to them that they can be saved. Because they're not going to hear it nowhere else. I love that song Ronnie sings, Victory in Jesus, but it's not scriptural. I just like it. But there ain't many of them in that book is. I like Beulah Land. Squire Parsons, Beulah Land. Boy, I love that. Not a lick of truth in it. But I like it. Of course, I like George Jones and Willie Nelson, too. Not a lick of truth in that, but I enjoy listening to them. But that song talked about, I repented of my sins and won the victory. No, you didn't. That ain't what gave you the victory. Jesus Christ on that cross gave you the victory, and you experienced the victory when you trusted what he did for you. Ain't got nothing to do with you repenting. But look on. Where did I tell you to look? 2 Corinthians, wasn't it? Paul, look what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. He said in verse 3, he said, since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. They didn't believe Christ was speaking. They wanted some proof that Christ spoke through the Apostle Paul. They wanted some sign. They didn't want to take him at his word and believe that it is the word of God. Look in Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, these people of Corinth, they wouldn't like the Thessalonians. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. He said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, he said, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that are baptized." No. Ain't got nothing to do. They believe. Do you know what the trouble with people is? They don't believe Paul's their apostle. They don't believe that God spoke through a man and gave that man the doctrine for the church. You know why? Because that doctrine goes against their denominational teaching. Amen, amen. And when you go against the denominational teaching, bristles get raised. Fire begins to come up in their eyes. Look with me, notice in, go back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37. "If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual," well, we all want to be spiritual. He said, "If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord." Notice in Timothy, in 2 Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 2. I mean, Paul said Christ spoke through him. He gave the commandments of the Lord. He told the church at Corinth in chapter 11, he said, "Be ye followers of me and keep the ordinances as I delivered them unto you." The things that Paul wrote down for us are the commandments of the Lord. And we're to follow Paul if we want to follow Christ. And you're not following Christ if you don't follow Paul. And let me say this. The Bible says in Romans chapter 13, "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor." And a man that will not rightly divide the word of God to his congregation, he doesn't love them and he don't love the Lord. Let me say that one more time. A man that doesn't preach the gospel of Christ and the word of God rightly divided to his people, I mean the truth, and rightly divides this Bible, he does not love his people and he doesn't love the Lord. Now, one or two reasons that a man won't do it is either he's ignorant, and that ignorance is willful, or he has a motive behind it. And most of them love what the people do for them, and they love what they can pick out of their pockets instead of loving the people. But love worketh no ill to his neighbor. If I love you, I'm going to tell you the truth. Paul said, "I become your enemy because I tell you the truth." If telling you the truth makes me your enemy, then so be it. But I love you enough, I'm going to tell you the truth, and the truth is in this book. And it's the words that was given to the Lord, and the Lord gave to Paul, and Paul passed them down to Timothy, and he wrote them down in 13 books, and the Lord preserved them books. And I'd be a crook, I'd be a robber, I'd be a thief if I didn't tell you the truth about it. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. And for me to honor my denomination more than I honor this book, and the words that was given to the apostles to the Gentiles would be, I'd be a crook. And I don't want to stand at the judgment seat of Christ as a crook. But look what he says. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he'd already said in verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Come down to verse 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Not Peter, James, and John. My gospel, Timothy. He said there, consider what I tell you. Consider the words that I give you. They're the wholesome words of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're the sound words, and it's sound doctrine. Now I want you to understand. Look in Philippians. Philippians. Looks like y'all might be here a while. No, just kidding. Philippians chapter 1. Notice what he says in verse 9. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. He said that this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. He said in verse 10, that ye may approve things that are excellent. Do you realize in sound doctrine, there is doctrine and there are excellent doctrine for you. There's doctrine that's more excellent for you than any other thing. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Turn over with me and look in Mark. Notice in Mark. find it right quick. Mark, I think it's chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Notice in Mark chapter 4 and verse 1, and he began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into the ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine. Did Jesus Christ teach doctrine? Yes, he did. Turn back to Matthew. Look in Matthew chapter 7. Hang on to Mark now. We're going to go back to the book of Mark. But look in Matthew chapter 7 and notice in verse 28. After he got done with the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is the commandments of the Lord, and it's how that they could exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. In there in verse 28, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Doctrine has to do with things that are taught. Doctrine has to do with the belief of things. We're taught, we teach things so you'll know it and believe it. And it's the Word of God. Paul said, approving the things that are more excellent for you. Why would you do that, Paul? So you can walk worthy of the Lord. So you can be in step with the Lord. We're laborers together with the Lord. If I'm not working with the Lord, I'm working against Him. And if I don't have the right doctrine to work with Him, then I can't work for be a laborer with Him. Then I'm against Him. A lot of churches, a lot of preachers today really work against the Lord instead of with Him. But look on, back in Mark, notice over there in Mark, turn to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, notice in verse 38. Mark 12, 38. Mark 12, 38, and he said unto them in his doctrine. Beware the scribes which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces. They love the applause of men. I mean, I've heard preachers preaching. They'd be preaching and they'd pause. You know what they're pausing for? I know they told, I read an article about one report went to a church and the guy had a couple men up there, and when the preacher would pause, I mean, this world is nutty as a pecan pie. We're gone nuts in this world, in the religious system of this world. They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Look on with me. Turn over to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. In John chapter 7, notice in verse 16. John 7. Verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Look in John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, talking about his doctrine. It's the doctrine of God. Jesus Christ taught the doctrine of God. So did Paul. In John chapter 14, notice in verse 24. Jesus answered and said unto them, I'm going to go back and read verse 20. And that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Now watch it. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. If you love me, you're going to keep my commandments, is what he's saying. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now, folks, this is true. No doubt about it. But you got to have the right commandments. I hope you understand what I'm getting at. If you want to know the Lord, you got to have the right commandments. Now look what he said. He said, he that hath my commandments, verse 21, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Come down to verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode unto him. Now watch, look with me to 1 John. Look in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2, notice what he says there. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, and hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, whereby we know that we are in him. And he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Look over with me in chapter 3. In chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, notice in verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments. 23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandments. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him. Now what commandments do you think he's talking about? He's talking about the commandments of the Lord that he gave on the earth. Right? Look in 2 John. In 2 John. In 2 John, notice verse 8. 2 John verse 8. look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of who? Christ. Hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he that hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Folks, I want you to say, that's just good doctrine that Christ gave. But it's not excellent doctrine for you today. You can't follow Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can't follow the Sermon on the Mount. And why? Because that's not your doctrine. And your doctrine came through the Apostle Paul. And that's the excellent doctrine for you. The commandments of Christ, the wholesome words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sound words, the sound doctrine was given to Paul and it was handed down to you. Now what are you going to do with it? You say, well, I'm following the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, you can. Are you sure? Turn back to Matthew. He that loveth me keepeth my commandments. Well, could I make an application of Paul's doctrine, the doctrine of God today for the dispensation of grace? If you love the Lord, you're going to keep His commandments, won't you? Where are you going to find them commandments? That's the problem. The church as a whole don't even know where the commandments of the Lord is for them. Why? Because the majority of preaching's done today, it's out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They avoid Paul like a plague. You know why? Because there's things in Paul's epistles that tears their doctrine up. Don't understand that. It's like the guy that one day asked him. So I went up to him and said, hey, well, what's that mystery in Ephesians chapter 3? He said, well, it's a mystery. If you knew what it was, it wouldn't be a mystery. I used to pastor of a church that made that comment. Isn't that something? Look in Matthew chapter, let's go to chapter 6. In chapter 6, I'm just going to give you a couple of them. In chapter 6, verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Folks, I want to tell you something right now. If God Almighty doesn't forgive you of your trespasses, you're headed for hell just as sure as you're sitting in this building. Am I right or wrong? According to the commandment of the Lord, how would they get their trespasses forgiven? Forgiven others, and if they didn't forgive, would God forgive them? Turn with me to Colossians and look in Colossians and notice in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Let's see what your apostle says about it. In Colossians chapter 2, notice in verse 13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you. How many? Was it based upon your forgiveness of anybody? No. It's based upon the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross. Look back in Matthew chapter 6 again, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where thieves, where moth and rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Y'all got a bank account? Checking? Savings? 401k? Thieves break in, steal it. God said to lay it not up for yourself. Say, well, I put mine in the mattress. Moths can get in there and get in. Well, I'll bury mine in a tin can in the backyard. Rust can get it. He's got you covered. You lay up for yourselves? Well, I hope you do. Turn with me and look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's see what your apostle says about it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Notice in verse 14. Before, behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend to be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. But did he say the parents to lay up for the children? He said that, didn't he? But Jesus Christ said, lay not up treasures upon this earth. Now, that's both doctrine, folks. One is more excellent. One was given to you by the apostle that God appointed to you. For I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify my office. Now we could go on and on and on. But the last thing I want to say is in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 3 said, for the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine. We're here today. How many of you people know that Jesus Christ descended into the heart of the earth when he died? I want to see your hand. You knew that. Do you know a preacher that told Alan, a pastor of a church, said he didn't believe that? That preacher's a preacher in Iredell County. Been preaching 40-some years. Do you realize in Ephesians chapter 4, he that ascended is the same also that descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Folks, we got a bunch of charlatans, con artists, and preachers that's out here picking people's pockets, and they don't love the Lord, and they're not following their apostle, and they don't love the Lord because they're not preaching the Lord's doctrine and keeping his commandments. And I make a spiritual application. He said, he that cometh to your door and bringeth not the doctrine of Christ, you're not to let him in. And if people don't believe in the doctrine that was given to the Apostle Paul, the Bible said a man is a heretic after the first and second admonition. Leave him alone. You can go. This is one of those you just got to jump off by. See you.